Hi everyone, welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. Today we will be covering Season 1, Episode 14 of The Vampire Diaries, and the episode title is Fool Me Once. So this episode marks the end of the Tomb chapter, and we ended on a very sad note, but there was also a very good cliffhanger to it. And of course, after this episode, there was a hiatus, which we will also be taking as well. Before we get into analyzing the episode, there's just a few things I'd like to talk about regarding this podcast. So to begin with, I think I mentioned in the previous episode or the episode before that we had reached 100 plays, and we have been growing at a pretty fast rate, and we are now at nearly 150 plays. So I'd like to say thank you to anyone who has been tuning in to this podcast. I really, really appreciate it. I say this every time, but it's been so fun doing this podcast. So I also would like to throw a quick shout out to one of my Spotify listeners called Stacey. Thank you so much for answering every single question on my Q&A section on the Spotify. So I really appreciate you tuning in to listen to this series, and I hope you're enjoying the Vampire Diaries as well. So for the question, favorite character, Stacey answered Damon, Bonnie, Elena, and Stefan. And I have to say, me too. I'd say my favorite characters would be them four, and also Catherine, because I think she's such a good villain. Especially from a rewatcher's point of view, you'll like Catherine the more you go throughout the series, let's just say. I mean, I did this like Q&A thing a couple of times, but from now on, I'm going to end the podcast with a question, because I just think it's way more fun to like start a discussion with all of you guys who are listening. And for Apple Podcast users, maybe you can answer via like DM. You can DM our Instagram and we can continue a discussion. So yeah, if anyone does answer, I will throw a shout out to like my favorite answer or something like that. I think that's about it for the podcast updates. So let's dive into analyzing the episode. And if you haven't already, get yourselves a good cup of coffee or tea. This is my fifth cup of coffee of the day. And let's take a look at the first scene of the episode. So if you remember in the previous episode, Elena and Bonnie were both kidnapped by Ben and Anna. So Elena wakes up in the motel, and of course this is the motel that Ben and Anna have been staying at. And Ben is, so he's supposed to be guarding Elena, but Ben is sleeping on the chair. And I genuinely think that if it wasn't for the fact that Anna was outside the motel door, I really think that Elena would have managed to get out and have escaped. You know, we think that Ben is sleeping, and just when Elena is about to open the door, Ben vamp speeds behind her. He compels Elena, and Elena does a pretty good job of pretending to be compelled, which is, of course, what Alaric did with Damon two episodes back. So she pretends to be compelled, but then she just opens the door, and of course, Anna is there. And, you know, Anna said that, you know, Elena dates a vampire. Of course, she's going to know about Vervain. And they put her in the bathroom. So Elena's looking around the room, trying to find a way out, and she finds Bonnie in the bathtub as well, completely knocked out. So we have a scene with Damon and Stefan next. So Stefan has been saying that he's been searching all night for Elena, and he's worried because the vampire blood, Damon's blood, is still in her system. And, you know, Damon says, well, at least you'll know you'll see her again. Ideally, we want Elena to be safe. Stefan would want Elena to be safe and not have been kidnapped in the first place. But to look at things on a positive note, at least if something happens to her, if someone was to kill her, she would still be alive, half alive, I guess. And so Stefan gives a genuine apology about Catherine and how it's his fault that Catherine got captured and Damon got separated from Catherine. And he's pleading Damon for help. And then Damon says, I mean this sincerely, but I hope Elena dies. And of course, these are very harsh words. We know that Damon is angry because of the betrayal, but we know that deep down he doesn't really mean that. I mean, we've seen by now that Damon has a soft spot for Elena. It might not be love or genuine feelings yet, but he does have a soft spot, whether it be because of the resemblance of Catherine or not. So switching back to the motel again, Bonnie has woken up and They're starting a conversation. Elena starts running a tap water so they can talk, because obviously vamp hearing, we want to prevent that. Bonnie is genuinely confused. She's questioning why she didn't know anything about this tomb and they're needing a witch to open it. And I really think that Elena should have told Bonnie in the first place, because Bonnie already knows about vampires. We know that we can trust her, and she's a witch as well, so she has her own secret. And I really genuinely think that it would just be best to have told her beforehand that, you know, Damien was trying to open his tomb, you know, they might come for Bonnie, because then she could have, you know, at least prepared. In the previous episode, when Bonnie was on a date with Ben, you know, Bonnie mentioned that she would die for Elena. And of course, as we expected, this was used against her this episode, because the reason why Elena was kidnapped was for leverage to get Bonnie to help Anna and Ben. There's more moments, of course, at the motel that I'd like to talk about, but I'm going to quickly switch to the grill. So at the Mystic Grill, we have the humans of Mystic Falls gathered, and Tyler is back. So Tyler's been absent a lot in these episodes. Tyler has a full-on plot that's about him in future seasons. He's very much part of the, you know, main gang. So that's why when you rewatch the series, it makes you realize just how much of a minor character he was in season one. Tyler being a minor character is going to continue until the end of season one. In season two, pretty early on, he gets a storyline. So yes, so Tyler's back and they're all talking about this party. So there's this party held by Duke, and we find out that Duke isn't even his real name. It's just that he goes to Duke, and his real name is a pretty basic one. And apparently every year he throws this really cool party when he's back from college, and basically everyone goes. They hype up this party a lot, but the so-called Duke character who is holding this party doesn't even appear, so we don't even get an appearance of him. And so yeah, Caroline and Matt are talking about it too. Jeremy's at the grill as well. So Caroline approaches Jeremy saying that he should come and that even quiet, loner little brothers go to parties. And also Caroline talks to Matt and she starts her first speech of the episode. So she has three main speeches that she says to Matt. And the first speech is offering him an escape clause. So, you know, she's being pretty open and cool this episode, I'd say. She's being more chill than she usually is, and it's a nice side of Caroline we're seeing, I think. Okay, so my French bulldog is always next to me when I'm recording these episodes, and he just has to make noises when I'm recording, so I apologize if you hear the sniffles and, you know, the sniffle sounds, the Frenchy sounds. One more scene I'd like to talk about before we head back to the motel is Damon and Grams. So Damon is headed to Grams and he's asking for Bonnie, and he's about to say, "Do you know where she would be?" And then Grams steps in and says, "Never." It appears that Grams knows about Damon, and she says that spirits and her granddaughter talk. So she's heard from the other witch spirits about Damon, assumably, and probably Bonnie's talked about him too. Grams says he better get off her porch. Damon says step outside and say that, because he thinks he's at an advantage, because once they're outside he's physically stronger. But he has a shock coming for him, because Grams gives him a migraine attack. I'm not quite sure what they call this. This trick is often used to attack vampires. So whenever you hear that sound, that piercing sound, and then the vampires hold their head, you just know that it's the witch is giving them a migraine or something. So it ends at that, and when Grams goes back inside, you can see that she looks really exhausted. So this is kind of a sign for later that she wasn't physically able to probably pull off that big spell, and that's why it took a tolerance on her body. Inevitably leads to her death at the end of the episode. So let's head back to the motel, where Anna and Elena first initially introduce themselves to each other. I think Bonnie and Ben are in the other room, and Anna and Elena see each other properly for the first time, and Anna is saying something on the lines of, "My gosh, you really are Catherine's doppelganger." So this is the first time that the phrase doppelganger is used in the Vampire Diaries series. So like I mentioned with the word grimoire in the previous episode, doppelganger is also a key word that will be used frequently throughout the series. And, you know, Anna says, haven't you heard about me? You know, I'm practically dating your brother, which is confusing, which is questionable because, you know, she's basically been like a stalker to Jeremy and they are nowhere near dating. So Elena seems to think that Anna wants Catherine out as well. And there's literally 26 other vampires in that tomb, okay? They said there's 27 vampires. So the fact that Elena would just think that everyone's so obsessed with Catherine was funny to me. And we see that Anna really dislikes Catherine. She's like, trust me, no one around me that knows her would want her out of that tomb. So Anna reveals that her mother is in there, and she basically blames her mother being trapped there on Catherine. So she thinks that, you know, Catherine was toying with the Salvatore brothers, with Damon and Stefan, and because she got caught, so did all the other vampires. She's holding a lot of anger towards, you know, both the Salvatore brothers, both Damon and Stefan, to Catherine, and of course to Jonathan Gilbert. Here's another moment where we just see that Elena is such a good person. So even though she's literally been kidnapped, she's genuinely sorry. She's sorry for Anna being separated from her mother. And I think Anna's surprised to see that too. She's surprised to see that, you know, Elena genuinely cares. But she wants to get back to business. So she says, let's skip the dead mom bonding. And she calls Stefan and says to get the grimoire. Like, even from the previous episodes, I just thought that it would have been way easier if they all worked together to open up the tomb. Anna just wants a mower. She doesn't want any trouble. So I don't see why they can't just all work together and Anna can get her mom out and leave town and they can do whatever they want with the other tomb vampires. I don't see the problem at all. So Anna's about to leave to meet with Damon, and she says that compulsion won't work. So she tells Ben that, you know, compulsion won't work, so just use violence. And then she leaves, so it's just the three of them. It's Ben, Bonnie, and Elena. So Elena asks for a drink, which Ben replies, are you offering? He says that there's some water on the bedside table, so she takes it. Personally, I wouldn't feel safe drinking it. I mean, if you're kidnapped, probably not safe to drink water on the bedside table. We don't know if it's been poisoned or if there's some kind of drug inside it. But then again, because they're vampires, they're probably not going to go to the lengths to poison. And so Bonnie asks for a sip. And I found it kind of obvious that they were planning something. We kind of saw this eye contact thing going on between them. But Ben was completely oblivious to it. We know by now that he's not exactly the most brightest vampire. And so Bonnie chugs the water at Ben and turns it into flames. So his arms are on fire. And just when we think they can escape, you know, Bonnie escapes, he captures Elena. So Bonnie gives up and returns. This is a point that I had to make. But, you know, we see that Ben doesn't have a daylight ring. We see him avoiding the sunlight. So if he doesn't have a daylight ring, they could literally just open up all the curtains, open the door, and he would burn, or he'd have to hide, and they could go away. But maybe they didn't notice that he had a daylight ring or not, I'm not sure. But now they know. Now they know that he doesn't have a daylight ring. Okay, I was about to say Times Square, sorry. We're at the town square, and Anna is on her way to meet with Damon and Stefan, and really bad timing. Jeremy sees her, so Jeremy is finally ready to go out with Anna, but it's a little too late. So she's like trying to be nice, but at the same time trying to like get away. And then Jeremy mentions about the Duke party and how the party is in the woods by the old cemetery, which we of course know is by the tomb. As soon as Anna hears that it's by the tomb, she's like, oh, okay, I'll meet you there then. I mean, she's gonna be there anyways. And, you know, with how they mentioned that there was this big party where everyone is going to, that it's held literally by the old cemetery, I thought that it would be relevant to this episode. Like, I thought it would be relevant to the plot of this episode on the tomb vampires getting out. At first, I assumed that maybe some vampires would get out and then attack the party, but literally nothing happened. Like, there was literally no need for this party, but just to gather the main cast together. So Damon meets Anna, and even though he said to Stefan that he hopes Elena dies, of course we know that he has a soft spot for her, and so he asks Anna, when do you want to do this? So when do you want to open the tomb? And then Anna says, gosh, it's 1864 all over again. And so they are planning to open up the tomb tonight, that night at sundown. So literally when the party is being held. So from Anna's point of view, she's probably sick of seeing Damon and Stefan getting all lovesick all over Catherine and Catherine's lookalike. She just wants to get her mother out and leave town. While Damon is meeting up with Anna, Stefan has found the motel. And literally Ben is just talking about how witches aren't immortal, so you can die. Stefan breaks in. The two of them manage to escape, and Ben is burning from the sun. This could have been a key moment where Stefan could have just left the door open and pushed him or something, get him to burn or kill him, but he doesn't. Stefan says, when sun goes down, leave town, which of course we know he doesn't afterwards. So it would have just been easier for Stefan to kill him now because he ended up killing him later on. It looks like Bonnie, Elena, and Stefan all headed back to the Grahams' house, and we find out that the reason why Stefan managed to find the motel was because Grahams did a locator spell to find them. And just a small thing that I noticed that I thought was really sweet was Stefan was finally invited in. So if you remember in, I can't remember the exact episode, maybe two or three episodes back, Sheila said, you know, you'll have to understand, I can't invite you in. But looks like Stefan was invited in, you know, he's trusted, which is great. And Elena is the one kind of initiating that they should be getting Catherine out of the tomb for Damon. And Graham says, which is being pulled down by vampire problems. We can kind of see this being a frequent pattern, and it very much is throughout the series. There's always a problem, and not just in the Vampire Diaries, but in the spin-off, the originals as well, the witches are used a lot to help solve vampire issues. Grahams surprisingly agrees to opening the tomb, and she says, you know, Damon can get Catherine out and they will destroy the rest of the vampires with fire. Elena is defending Damon a lot throughout this episode. One line she says was, you know, Damon's not angry, he's hurt, there's a difference. So she thinks that she understands that the betrayal hurt Damon, and he's not just being angry with no logical reason, he's genuinely been hurt. And so not just in this moment, but in scenes afterwards, you'll see that, you know, Elena is really rooting for Damon. So Anna is back from meeting with Damon, and she goes back to the motel to find the door open and Ben hiding in the corner, which I just thought hilarious. I'm sorry, I just found the whole scene hilarious, how he was literally hiding behind the bed and the door was wide open. And like, Anna's like, oh my god, you've got to be kidding me. At first, she's devastated because she has no leverage now to getting a tomb open. But then she realizes that Damon, being the lovesick person that he is, wouldn't stop to get the tomb open. So she decides that she can just head to the tomb when they're doing it and get in and get her mom out. And technically, she can do that. I mean, there's nothing stopping her. And I don't think they needed to go to these lengths to, like, kidnap and use each other's leverage. They could have just done this together in the first place. But then again, it wouldn't have been as interesting. So Elena is at the Salvador house talking with Damon, and she's trying to get Damon on board with the whole opening of the tomb. So she says that she convinced Bonnie to help them out, and Damon says, fool me once, shame on you. And the episode title is, of course, Fool Me Once, so I think this is a reference towards this. So, of course, the main plot of this episode is the tomb being opened, but it's also about the betrayal and the trust issues that Damon has, I think. So I think this can be interpreted in many different ways. The first interpretation could be that Elena tricked him once and he doesn't want to be tricked again. The second, I think, is because he put his trust in Stefan originally in 1864, but Stefan chose his father. And the third one, I think, is the betrayal that he faces with Catherine later on. Of course, we'll talk about it in depth later on, but they open the tomb and find out that Catherine isn't in there. Catherine knew where Damon was the whole time, so that's another ultimate betrayal. So this episode really, I think, centers around the whole betrayal and the loss of trust that Damon has faced throughout his human and vampire life. So Elena is asking Damon why he didn't compel her when they were in Atlanta. And, you know, Damon's like, who's to say I didn't? But Elena's like, no, I know you didn't compel me. And she says a line. So she says, you and I, we have something. And then there's a silence. And she says, an understanding. And she promises to help Damon. So she even goes to the lengths of taking off her Vervain necklace. So Damon can compel to ask, or he could even compel her to do anything, literally anything. That's how much trust she's putting into him. But Damon puts the necklace back on. So just that action justifies that she is telling the truth. And he says that he didn't compel her because they were having fun and he wanted it to be real. And it's these small moments where Delana shippers will probably really, you know, root for the two of them. So the Duke's party has kicked off and Matt and Caroline are there together. They run into Damon and Delana, and as soon as she sees them, Caroline grabs Matt's hand to hold, and it's kind of like this awkward moment. Elena's kind of weirded out by the whole thing, and Matt and Damon meet properly for the first time, but of course it's a very short introduction because Damon and Elena are headed towards the tomb. So they arrive to the tomb area where Stefan, Grams, and Bonnie are preparing, and I guess they're digging a hole to get into the tomb, because if you remember, when Bonnie fell under the ground, there was quite a distance between the tomb and the ground. So I guess they're having to dig this whole entrance to get inside. Meanwhile, back at the party, Tyler is at it again. He approaches Jeremy asking for weed, and Jeremy says he doesn't party anymore. And we've seen that since he was compelled, he's really cleaned up his act. Like, he's literally clean, sober, and focused on studying. And Tyler says to Jeremy, do you even have any friends? And then Jeremy says, thank God, when Anna arrives. And I kind of felt bad for him in this episode, because we've seen how he was in episode one, the pilot episode, when he was acting out with Hermie's whole parents passing away, and how he's really cleaned up his act now. And just when he thinks that he has this connection with Anna, we of course know later that it wasn't real. So everyone's inside the tomb now, and they are starting the spell. And they say air, earth, fire, water. This scene kind of reminded me of The Craft. I really love that movie. I loved the original and the reboot as well. But anyways, one funny point I found was, you know, they say air, earth, fire, but literally apart from water, everything they used was just fire. Elena is surprised to see that it's just regular tap water that they're using. She thought it would be something more mystic. And Damon is there, and Damon has a IV bag with him. So he's brought this for Catherine. He's so happy. He's anticipating to be reunited with Catherine, which is just so tragic because we know that she's not in the tomb. So Anna and Jeremy have stepped out of the party and they're talking together, and Jeremy is saying that, you know, this place reminds him of someone. So obviously, because it's a cemetery, Anna assumes that it's someone who's dead, but he says no. So from here we can assume that he's being reminded of Vicky, and because he's been compelled, he thinks that Vicky has just left town and that she's not dead. And Jeremy and Anna had this really cute moment, which, you know, is a shame because we find out afterwards that she was just using him. You know, Anna says to Jeremy that her and her mom are moving away and she's here to say goodbye, and they kiss, and Anna gets the vamp face, and then Ben is behind Jeremy, knocks him out, and we can see that Ben's kind of jealous. And here, Anna reveals the plans that she plans on draining Jeremy out. So she plans on bringing him to her mom so her mom can feed on him, maybe drain him out. And so it's really confusing because we see her genuinely, you know, being nice to Jeremy. So is it just really fake feelings, or is there genuine feelings that she may have for Jeremy? Back at the party, we see Matt talking to Tyler, and he's saying that he doesn't know if he can do the whole public thing. Caroline seems a little too clingy. Just when he's saying that, Caroline comes and she says speech number two. So speech number two, she admits that the hand thing was lame. And I think Matt thought that she did the whole hand thing because of Elena, and she felt insecure because Matt still likes Elena. But she says that she didn't do it because of Elena, but she did it because of Damon. She wanted to show Damon that she was with the good guy now and to prove that she was over him. And, you know, Matt kind of forgives her I think he's relieved to hear that it wasn't because of Elena. Bonnie and Grams have begun the spell, and the tomb slowly begins to open. Damon is by the entrance. He's ready to get in, but he's planning on bringing Elena with him. And the reason why is because he doesn't trust Bonnie and Grams, and he makes a relative point, which is that who's to know that they can just seal the tomb and he can't get out. So he brings in Elena as leverage. And, you know, Elena agrees. She understands that Damon has trust issues, especially because she betrayed him once in the previous episode. And we are switched to above the tomb. And so Stefan has gone up to above the tomb to prepare the whole gasoline to torch to burn the rest of the tomb vampires. And we see Ben as well. Really, Stefan should have just killed him earlier. Ben is saying that he's heard about Stefan and how he doesn't feed on humans. So he seems to think that Stefan wouldn't be strong enough to fight against him. But, of course, in this series, the older the vampire, the more stronger they are. So Stefan is stronger. So Ben heads towards him. Stefan pushes him. And Ben is like, is that all you got? And then Stefan says, no, I've got this. And he bursts Ben into flames. And that is the end of the short-lived story of Ben the vampire. So back inside the tomb, so Damon and Elena have gotten inside. We hear these noises, and Damon is saying that the vampires can sense her. So even though they're desiccated, they do have a conscience, so they can smell her blood. And he literally goes off to search for Catherine and leaves Elena alone, which I felt terrible for Elena. That must have been so scary, because the vampires can literally sense her, and she's there alone in the dark, in the tomb. So I get that he wanted to use it for leverage, but he's literally just left her. And Anna gets into the tomb as well. Graham surprisingly just lets her in. And she says afterwards to Bonnie that none of them are coming out. So Elena is alone in the tomb. She's surrounded by the desiccated vampires. And she's panicking, you know, because everywhere she flashes her light, she sees these desiccated vampires everywhere. So she tries to run, and I think she stumbles. Stefan realizes that Elena's gone inside the tomb. He tries to get in, but Graham stops him. And I think that, you know, Graham's trusts Stefan. She's known Stefan from when she was younger as well, and she doesn't want Stefan to be trapped because she thinks that Stefan is genuinely a good person. So here she reveals that opening the door of the tomb didn't remove the seal. It just opened the door, which means that the vampires can enter now, but they're not going to be able to get out. But because Elena is a human, she's able to leave. Graham's basically planned this from the start, and she did this because she wanted to protect her own. She wanted to protect the humans. So I guess, you know, in some way, because we've seen Damon throughout the season, we have a soft spot for him. We know his backstory. We feel bad for him, but at the same time, you can kind of get from Graham's point of view why she would do this. She needed to protect the town. She needs to protect the town. She needs to protect her own. So Anna is inside the tomb, and she finds Elena. And just when she finds Elena, she finds her mother, Pearl, as well. So we mentioned earlier how Anna blames Catherine, Stefan, Giuseppe, and Jonathan Gilbert for her mom being captured. So she made a choice long ago that it would be Gilbert blood that would bring her mom back to life. So she's like, oh wow, perfect timing. We can just use you instead of Jeremy. technically Elena isn't a Gilbert, and that would have been the right timing to say that, but I guess she's in shock and there wasn't enough time, so she grabs Elena's wrist, I think, to her mom. And Stefan, of course, can hear Elena's screams, so without even thinking, he just runs into the tomb, knowing that he's going to be trapped. And so Bonnie wants to get Stefan out, because Bonnie as well, like Grams, knows that Stefan is genuinely a good person, that he's with Elena. So she's like, you know, she'll do anything, you know, just teach me, she'll do it by herself. And I think that Bonnie will regret this decision later on because of Graham's fate at the end of the episode. So Stefan finds Elena, helps her, tells Elena to go ahead, and we see him standing awkwardly at the entrance. He sacrificed himself for Elena. But Bonnie and Grams are going to start a spell. They said that they can break the seal down, but they don't know for how long. So Stefan goes to fetch Damon. But Damon is distraught because he's gone through the whole tomb. He can't find Catherine. He's angry. He's hurt. He throws the blood bag on the wall. And this small moment, of course, will impact the town after, because, of course, we see the cliffhanger at the end that the vampires get the blood. So Bonnie and Graham start the spell to break the seal. And Anna and Pearl are out there first. And Anna apologizes. She says she just wanted her mother back. And she says that she won't hurt Jeremy. He's above the tomb. And, you know, we can't fully hate Anna. She was supposed to be the antagonist throughout the previous episodes. But she just wanted to be reunited with her mother. And now that she's got what she wants, and now that she's got what she wanted, she doesn't plan on doing any harm. So because Bonnie and Grams are saying they can't keep this up for long, the whole spell, Elena goes back into the tomb to get Damon and Stefan. So at first, you know, Stefan is saying to Damon to, let's get out the tomb, it's not worth spending eternity down here, but he's still not leaving. But when Elena pleads Damon, he finally gives up. And I think that it's probably this resemblance of Catherine, this girl that is a resemblance of the girl that he was waiting for so long, is telling him to get out of the tomb. That's probably what clicked him to realize that he just needs to leave the tomb and give up. And at the very last minute, they managed to get out. Switching quickly back to the party, I think this is the last scene of the party. It's Matt and Caroline. So Caroline is saying her third speech of the episode, and she's saying that she wants it to work between them. And they end up kissing, and I guess that means that Matt and Caroline are, like, really officially a couple now. That's all we saw for the party. So, like I said earlier, this party was literally right next to the cemetery, so we would have thought that it would have meant that something would happen. But literally nothing happened, so I don't really see the point of the whole party. Nothing really connected the tomb plot to this party. But anyways, everyone's out of the tomb now. Jeremy's on the ground. We see Damon kind of like standing, and he's in such shock. So Elena goes up to him and just hugs him, and she just shows so much compassion towards Damon for this episode. And we see Stefan kind of looking on towards it. And Bonnie has taken Grams back home, and Grams looks really exhausted, and she's headed to bed. Elena has also taken Jeremy home, and Jeremy is apologizing for passing out. He promises that he really didn't drink that much, and he doesn't know what happened. And Elena checks to see if he remembers anything, probably, you know, to check if she needs to do any compelling or not, but he says that he doesn't, and he just wants to rest. And just when you think that he's gonna go to bed and sleep, he goes on Bing. This was definitely a sponsor. I remember, like, I don't know if they still do these, like, sponsors in TV series nowadays, but I remember in, like, lots of other CW TV shows, when they had a sponsor, they would literally feature it in, like, every episode. For Gossip Girl, I remember they were featuring Outlook, was it? Or, like, a tablet. They would keep on featuring it. So this was clearly a Bing sponsor. And I don't think I ever used Bing. Like, even back then, I always used Google. Does anyone still even use Bing? He goes on to Bing, and what does he search for? He searches for vampires. I guess this was supposed to be, like, a sign to see that Jeremy saw Anna's face and is now suspicious. But I just find it funny because his own ancestors' journals and the own research that he did probably would have more accurate knowledge than what it would say on Bing. So Damon has gone to the motel where Anna and Pearl are, and he says, "Why do you get a happy ending?" And you can really understand his pain because he went to such lengths to get Catherine out. He's waited for so long only to find that she wasn't there. But at the same time, you're really hoping that he doesn't do anything to Pearl because Pearl and Anna, like the mother and daughter, are finally reunited as well. And Pearl says that there was a guard in front of the tomb who was obsessed with Catherine and she promised to turn him. So she's just turning humans here and there, basically. So this guard let her free, which means that she's been roaming around free this whole time. She's been alive this whole time, living her vampire life. And Anna knew that Catherine wasn't in the tomb, but she knew that if Damon knew that, he wouldn't help her. And Anna said that she last saw Catherine in Chicago in 1983. She knew about Damon. She knew where he was. She didn't care. And that was literally just the nail in the coffin for Damon. For Damon to have waited 145 years to be reunited with his love, only knowing that she was alive the whole time, knew where he was, knew he was a vampire, and didn't even care to send a message or see him, must be the ultimate betrayal. It's the ultimate betrayal, basically. And I really wish that we could have seen this flashback of Anna and Catherine meeting each other in the 1980s, but unfortunately we do not have this flashback. However, we do have lots of Chicago flashbacks in, I think it was season three, lots of Chicago scenes. They're really, really good scenes, and we find out a lot of history, so look forward to that. So we're at the end of the episode, and the song Run by Leona Lewis starts playing. This is a cover, and it's a really sad moment. The music really goes well with it. So we have this scene of Damon and Stefan by the fireplace, and this fireplace whole scene is actually used quite a lot throughout the series. It's used when there's like a sad ending, so we'll see it more often. And I really, really feel bad for Damon. Words can't describe how hurt he must be. The next tragic scene is Bonnie. So Bonnie has brought a drink for Grams. She goes to see her only to find out that Grams isn't breathing. And oh my gosh, it literally made me cry when she was screaming for Grams. And then she screams for Elena. And Elena calls for an ambulance while Bonnie is looking through the grimoire, trying to see if there's a way, a spell that she can reverse it, that she can bring her grandma back to life. Just when you think that the episode is going to end on this sad note, of course, you have to remind yourself that this is the Vampire Diaries and there's so many twists and turns and the plot is never ending. They end it on a cliffhanger. So we're taken back to the tomb and the blood bag that Damon threw is dripping off the walls. One of the vampires gets a taste of the blood. He wakes up and he gets out of the tomb, and that is where the episode ends. Yet another good episode. I guess they had to end it on a cliffhanger because back in 2010, they took a spring hiatus after this episode. They had about a 1.5 month break. So by this tomb vampire getting out, it means there's going to be more vampires in town. We don't know how many vampires are going to get out. Maybe all 26 of them. Oh, well, minus Pearl, that's 25 of them. So there's 25 more vampires left. It was just really tragic, this episode. I mean, I did let you guys know that this was going to be a really tragic, sad one. And Graham's death was so, so sad. I'm so sad that she's gone so early on. I really wanted to see her more throughout the season because she was a really good mentor for Bonnie, teaching her on how to do spells and how to embrace being a witch. Now Bonnie is left alone. She has to go through this journey by herself. And of course, I really felt bad for Damon as well because, you know, Damon's found out that, you know, Catherine possibly never cared about him. So now we know that Catherine's alive. We can probably expect an appearance from her in the future. And by the way I talk about Catherine, you can kind of guess that we will see her eventually. And another thing is Jeremy. So Jeremy was searching about vampires on Bing. So could that mean that he finds out truly about what vampires are, and will he find out about the compulsion? Let's move on to my favorite and least favorite character segment. So my favorite characters for this episode would have to be Damon, Bonnie, and Grams. I just felt sorry for the three of them. For Damon, I genuinely felt sorry for him because his whole motive of coming back to town, well, his whole motive as his whole vampire life was to get Catherine back, and it's been taken away from him. For Bonnie, it was heartbreaking to see her at the end of the episode, to see her shouting for her Grams, and of course Grams, for her to pass away, really, really heartbreaking. So those are my three favorite characters. Least favorite character is gonna have to be Ben. Like, literally, apart from Ben, I don't think I disliked anyone else. I don't hate Anna, even though she kidnapped Elena, because she just wanted to be with her mom, and seeing them reunite was a really sweet moment. So I'm gonna have to say it has to be Ben, because he was literally a useless character, and he's gone now. Favorite music of the episode was the ending song, which is Run by Leona Lewis. So I will play that at the end of this episode. Back in the day, I think I used to watch X Factor when I lived in the UK. Do they even still do that show anymore? And Leona Lewis won the UK X Factor in, like, oh my gosh, it would have to be like 2006 or 2007. So yeah, I really liked her since then, and I love this song. I'm really sad to be taking a break because this is such a good timing, but as I've mentioned throughout the episode and the episode before, I will be taking a small hiatus from Vampire Diaries. So I will still be posting on this podcast every Sunday. It's just going to be 4 weeks of non-The Vampire Diaries content, but please don't forget us. If you're not interested in the movies, please come back to listen to us in 4 weeks' time. If you want to give the other episodes, the bonus episodes, a try out, I'd really appreciate it if you could. So next Sunday, I'm going to be covering Near Dark, which was released in 1987, 11 years before I was born. And after that, I will be looking at the Lost Boys trilogy for 3 weeks in a row. Then we will be back to The Vampire Diaries looking at episode 15. So as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, thank you for anyone who... And as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, I do have a Q&A segment for my Spotify listeners. And from now on, I will make sure to add this segment every time for every episode so we can kind of like continue a discussion. So for this episode's Q&A, I'm going to ask, what are your predictions for the rest of season one? What do you think will happen? Because we're already over halfway through, we've been introduced to all of the characters, so please let me know what your predictions are and we can discuss them next time. So yes, that is the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next Sunday for some bonus content. If you want to listen to the Vampire Diaries content, please come back in 4 weeks' time. We will resume rewatching the Vampire Diaries season one. Don't forget to check us out on our Instagram at The Mystic Podcast. We will upload podcast updates. You can connect with us on there. Any questions, you can send me through there as well. And I will end the episode with the song of the episode, which was Leona Lewis, Run.